All right. Well, good morning, everybody. God bless you. The Alpha course is an awesome experience. I noticed that we really didn't give a lot of information about how to get involved. So Pastor Troy, right over here, the man who received the offering this morning, is your man. If you are interested in the Alpha course, make sure you connect with him this morning, and he will get that information to you. As I mentioned earlier this morning, we're beginning a 21-day journey of prayer together. And prayer is a year-long journey for us, but 21 days out of the beginning of every year, we really focus on spending that extra time with the Lord and focusing on prayer. And in order to help us with that, every year I write a devotional, and this year the devotional is called 21 Prayers That Every Christian Should Pray. And so for every day of the 21 days, there's a very simple prayer. For example, today's prayer is, help me, help me. And so there's some scripture that will go along with that. And it is just a way to kind of prime the pump a little bit and get you started in your own prayer time. And so if you didn't receive one of these last week, we have them available for you out at the information table. Also, The prayer journal is available on the YouVersion app, and so if you use that, you can access it there. If you don't, you can download the YouVersion app. It's just a neat opportunity that we had an open door for about a year ago. I did my first one called Restored, and last year almost 13,000 people used the Restored app. The Restored plan, and so it's just a way that we as a church, it makes it more convenient for us. And so 21 days of 21 prayers rather every Christian should pray. Man, I am looking forward to this year. I pray that this year you are looking forward to this year with great faith and expectation. I don't know what your last year was like. Perhaps 2018 was a fantastic year for you, and you're just looking for more of the same. Perhaps 2018 was a challenging year for you, and you're just glad it's over. And you're saying, God, give me something new this year. I promise you this, no matter what your year has been like last year, I promise you this, God has good things in store for you. He does. Now, you might say to yourself, well, how do you know that, Tim? How could you possibly know that 2019 is going to be good for me? Well, let me just give you, this is before the message, by the way. Let me give you three things that are true of every Christian that will help you to look forward to this year. The first thing is this, that the bad things that happen to us in life, God turns around for good. The Bible says God works all things together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So the bad things that happen to us, God turns around for good. Secondly, the truly good things in life are things that can't be taken away from us. The truly good things are things no one can take from you. And the third thing I want you to know about this year is that the best is yet to come. The best things are still to come. All right? So these three truths, they will help you to look forward to this year with great faith and expectation. The bad things God will use for good. The good things are the things that can never be taken away from you. And thirdly, the best is still to come. So look forward to this year with faith and expectation. This morning, we're going to look at a woman's life in the scripture, a woman who went through great trials, but still had great faith and expectation. And because she had faith and expectation, Jesus did a miracle in her life. And her story is told in Luke chapter 8. Turn with me there, Luke chapter 8. And what's happening in this chapter is Jesus has just returned from the far side of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus and his disciples had been in an area called the Gerasenes, or some versions call it the Gadarenes. He had been in this region, which was kind of a dark spiritual region. There in the Gadarenes, Jesus encountered a man that was possessed by demons. In fact, possessed by many demons. The demons themselves said, "We are legion." In other words, we are many. A legion was actually 5,000 Roman soldiers. Now, we don't know that this man was actually possessed by 5,000 demons, but he was possessed by a lot of demons. Because when Jesus cast those demons out of that man, they went into a herd of pigs, and the pigs cast themselves into the sea and drowned. Now, that would have been an amazing thing to see, right? The people of the Gadarenes, however, were not so impressed. Even though the Bible says this man had been set free, they all knew this man. He had been out of his mind for years. The Bible says now he was in his right mind after he encountered Jesus. The people, however, were afraid of what they had seen, and so they asked Jesus to leave. So Jesus and his disciples get in a boat, and they cross over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and they arrive in Jesus' hometown of Nazareth. And when they arrive in Nazareth, here's what happens, beginning at verse 40. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing she could no longer go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Now, to finish the story about Jairus' daughter actually dies. And when Jesus arrives at Jairus' house, there's a bunch of people there mourning. He chases them all out of the house, tells them to leave, and Jesus goes in and he heals Jairus' daughter, and she's raised from the dead. She became the third person that Jesus rose from the dead. Well, if you count that he rose himself from the dead, Jesus actually raised four people from the dead, and Jairus' daughter was one of them. How many of you know Jesus is the author of life? Amen. He's the author of life. He raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. But this morning, I want to focus on this woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. Now, we're not told her name here, but we know a few things about her. First of all, we know that she had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. 12 years. Now, how many of you would agree with me this morning? 12 years is a long time. 12 years is a long time. 12 years ago, I was 46 years old. None of my children were married. Now they're all married. I didn't have any grandkids. Now I've got 6 of them. 12 years is a long time. But 12 years when you're suffering is an eternity. That's just a long time to go through something. This woman had been suffering for 12 years. Another thing we know about this woman is that she was poor. How do we know that? We go to Mark chapter 5, which tells the same story in the Gospel of Mark. And it says that she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. So remember back then, there's no Medicare, no Medicaid, no health insurance. If you wanted to see the doctor, you always paid out of your pocket. And this woman, over this 12-year period, had literally spent every dime that she had on doctors, hoping to get better, but she didn't get better. In fact, the Bible says she got worse. That's a long 12 years when things start out bad and they go from bad to worse. This woman was subject to bleeding for 12 years. She was poor. How many of you at this point would just say, man, it would be so easy to just give up? To just give up. It's amazing to me that this woman never lost her faith. She didn't become cynical. She didn't allow unbelief to fill her heart. She still had faith. She refused to give up. She had great determination. How do we know she had great determination? Because she pressed her way through that crowd to reach out and touch Jesus, believing that if she could just somehow get to Jesus and touch him, she would be healed. Great determination. You see, it wasn't enough that Jesus was in the proximity. She knew she needed to take a step of faith and reach out and touch Jesus. You know, it's God who does the healing. We can't heal ourselves. But it's we who need to make the choice to have faith. And faith requires action. It requires us stepping out and making a move. It requires action. Faith always requires action. We must take a step. And I want to encourage you as you start this new year, if there's something out there that's in your heart, and you feel maybe like this is so far away, it seems so impossible, I want to encourage you, don't give up, but also don't just sit around and wait for it to happen. Step out from where you've been and reach out, take a step of faith, and do what God's asking you to do, and go after the promise that God has for you. That's what this woman did. She worked her way through the crowd in order to reach out and touch Jesus. You know, she could have just said, I'm going to sit over here on the sidelines and watch the crowd go by, and if it's God's will, Jesus will notice me and come over and heal me. Or she could have said, oh, poor me. God doesn't love me. Jesus doesn't care about me. If he did, he'd come over and touch me. But she didn't do any of that. Instead, her faith took action. And she reached out, pressed through the crowd, and touched Jesus. She went after her miracle. Have you ever known someone that's said, oh, I don't have any friends? I just wish I had friends, but I don't have any friends. And they bemoan the fact that they don't have any friends, but on the other hand, you've noticed about them that they don't try to make friends with anybody. Right? Like, the Bible teaches us, if you want to have friends, be a friend. Amen? If you want to have friends, be a friend. Don't sit around feeling sorry for yourself. Become a friendly person. Don't make it about you. Make it about others. Invest, reach out, love people. This is how we have relationships in the body of Christ. Don't just sit around waiting for something to happen. Go after what you want, as long as what you want is something that's godly, right? As long as it's godly, go after it, and God's going to bless you for it. That's what happens in this woman's life. Faith requires action. This is why I believe water baptism is so important. Water baptism isn't what saves us. It's only Jesus who saves us. Amen? But the Bible commands us to be baptized in water because it's impossible to be a Christian and ride the fence. We got to be all in. Amen? Yeah. And so in water baptism, we take that step of faith. Take a step of faith and we say, I'm going public about my relationship with Jesus. I'm not going to be a closet Christian. And it's a step of faith and it's a step of obedience. Another step of faith that God might be asking you to do is perhaps God's asking you this year to, for maybe for the first time in your life, to get involved in a life group. Maybe you've just been kind of disconnected, not really making relationship in the body of Christ and having true fellowship. And God is just asking you to take that step of faith and sign up for a life group and get involved in other people's lives. Perhaps for you, it's God's telling you to start tithing. Perhaps you've just been kind of stuck in your finances and you want God to bless you, but it just doesn't seem to be there. So sometimes the very thing that we think is just the opposite of the way God will prosper us, the way to prosperity sometimes and provision is giving. It's giving. It's taking that step of faith. And when we begin tithing, it's saying, God, I believe that you're my provider. Amen? God is a generous God. Do you know when we tithe, when we give 10%, we actually haven't even started being generous yet? When we tithe, all we're doing is giving back to God what he's told us to give back. We're not even being generous until we start giving 11% or 12% or 15%. It's not even generosity. When we give God the tithe that already belongs to him, that's not even generosity yet. God wants us to be generous, and he will be generous with us, right? It's taking that step of faith like this woman took. This is why we ask people when we pray for healing or we pray for miracles, this is why often we have prayer up here and we ask you to step out from where you are and come forward for prayer. Some people feel uncomfortable with that, like, God can just touch me right here. Let me tell you what it says in James chapter 5. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. It puts the responsibility on the person. Let them call on the elders of the church. And church, I believe that there have been many people that have missed out on miracles, they've missed out on healing, because they sat back in the pew and they said, God can touch me right here if he wants to. God asks us many times to take a step toward him, to take a step of faith. And that's what happens in this woman's life. She takes a step toward Jesus. Now, I want you to notice, we're going to back up to verse 44. Notice how she approaches Jesus. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding was stopped. She came up behind him, very stealthy, came up behind him and touched just the edge of his cloak. Why? She didn't want anybody to notice. She wanted to be healed, but she wanted to get healed quietly. She wanted to go unnoticed. And if it was anybody else, she would have gone unnoticed, but she's not dealing with anybody else here. She's dealing with Jesus. And I want you to know, Jesus notices everything. He notices everything. Why did she approach Jesus this way? Well, it's because the type of illness she had. She had this continuous bleeding, and she would have been considered unclean according to Jewish law. And furthermore, She would have made anybody else that came in contact with her, they would have been considered unclean. So Jesus, being a rabbi, she did not want anybody to know that she had, including Jesus, that she had touched him. And so she comes up behind Jesus, just touches the very hem of his garment, but that's all it took. Immediately, the Bible says, she was healed. After 12 long years, 12 long years. This is a very bold move, a very bold move for this woman to press through the crowd and reach out and touch Jesus. Took a lot of boldness. She had to overcome her fears. She had to overcome social stigma. She had to overcome the crowd. She had a lot of boldness to do this. Where did this boldness come from? How did she get to be so bold? Well, I believe the reason she was so bold is because she was desperate. I mean, I'm kind of reading between the lines here, but I'm thinking at this point, she is thinking, what do I have to lose? I've been this way for 12 years. What do I have to lose? Sometimes great desperation, church, produces great boldness. As we begin this new year, how desperate are you? How desperate are you for Jesus? How desperate are you for your family? How desperate are you for God to use you? How desperate are you for God? In just a few moments, I'm going to invite anybody that needs a touch from God to come forward. And we're going to pray over you today. And I'm going to admit to you, not everybody I've prayed for has been healed. I'll admit that to you. But in a way, every Christian is healed because we spend eternity with God without any sickness or disease or death. Amen? Yeah. But it doesn't always happen the way I'd like to see it happen. I'll admit that to you. But can I tell you this? I still believe in prayer. I still believe in miracles. I've seen too much to doubt God. I know God is a God of miracles. I know God still heals people. So in just a minute, we're gonna come forward and we're going to believe God for miracles as we start this new year. We're going to believe God for great things. But before we do that, I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. I'm going to ask you to commit this year, 2019, to getting closer to Jesus than you've ever been before. I want you to have the spirit that was in this woman that said, I am going to press through the crowd and I'm going to touch Jesus. I don't know about you, but there are some things in my life that I have to push aside and be determined that I'm going to touch Jesus. Amen? There are some things in my schedule where I just have to say, you know, that's important, but it's not as important as touching Jesus. There are distractions that I have to set aside and say, that's not as important as touching Jesus. I need to press through, and be closer to Jesus than I've ever been before. Now, in one sense, Jesus is as close to us as he's ever been because he never leaves. Amen? He never leaves. Even times I have been inattentive toward him, he's not been inattentive toward me. Yeah. So in one sense, he never leaves. But in another sense, my seeking after him and my awareness of his presence and my determination to be close to him can waver. As we begin this new year, let's decide together, I'm going to press through the crowd and I'm going to get closer to Jesus than I've ever been. Amen? Yeah. And I'm telling you, that relationship with him, that walk with him, whether Jesus heals you physically or not, is the most important thing there is in life. Knowing him, being close to him, finding life in him, companionship, that friendship, that relationship with Jesus. Push other things aside. Make Jesus the priority. Commit to your relationship with him. Kill the distractions and go after him. What miracle is waiting on the other side of your obedience? On the other side of taking that step of faith toward him? What miracle is waiting on the other side of that decision to press into Jesus? Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to have the worship team. I'm going to ask them to come on up. This morning we're going to pray together. We're going to seek the Lord together. And if you're here and you need a touch from God, I want to stand with you in prayer and believe that just as Jesus healed this woman, think about it. Before this woman actually touched Jesus, Jesus in the natural wasn't even aware of her presence. She pressed through, she reached out and touched him, and she was healed even though Jesus didn't even know she was coming. That's how much healing power Jesus has. Yeah. Just touched the hem of his garment. And this morning, let's do that. Let's reach out and touch the Lord. I want you to know today, Jesus is very aware of your presence. He knows exactly what you're going through in life. We're going to take a step of faith today and believe God for miracles in this place. And we're going to take a step into this year and say, God, I want to be closer to you than I've ever been before. I'm going to push aside the distractions. I'm going to reach out and touch you, Lord. So if you're here this morning, you need a miracle. You need healing in your body. You need a financial miracle. You need God to set you free from something. You need a miracle in your marriage, your family. Some situation that just seems impossible. This morning, I'm going to stand with you in prayer, and we're going to believe God for miracles as we start this year. So if that's you this morning, I'm going to invite you to be like that woman. Let's step out. Step out from where we are. Come right up here in the front. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's take a step of faith, a step of faith this morning. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we praise you. Come right up to the front, all right? Press right in, because we're going to have a lot of people up here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Church, the Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. The same Jesus that healed this woman in Matthew chapter 8 or Luke chapter 8 is with us this morning. He's here right now. We're going to reach out and touch him, and we're going to believe God for a miracle in your life. We're going to believe God for his healing power to touch you. We're going to believe God for financial provision, for miracles. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. Come on, church. Just begin to thank him right now. If you're not up here, reach out to the people that are up here. Reach out to them in prayer in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that you're our healer, that you're our provider. We thank you, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, that you do not change, Lord. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. If you did it then, you can do it now. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray for healing on those that are sick today. God, I pray that you will touch them, whatever infirmity it might be, no matter how long they've suffered. Maybe they've suffered more than 12 years. God, I thank you, Lord, that with you, time is not a factor. Time is not a factor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God is touching people right now. He's touching you right now. There's such a strong anointing in this place right now. The power of God is at work. The power of God is at work right now, touching your life, bringing healing. In Jesus' name, I pray, God, for a release of supernatural faith, God. Supernatural faith, God, that we will not give up. No matter how long we've been sick, we will not give up, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, God. We praise you, God. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. I want to encourage you. I believe it's a very important step that when God does something for us, when God answers a prayer, when God heals us, I believe it's important to tell people about that. So I just want to encourage you, when you receive that healing, tell somebody. Talk about it. Tell people how good Jesus is. And even if God doesn't heal you physically, you can still tell people how good God is. Amen? Because he walks with us. Yes. through those really challenging times. Thank the Lord. I'm going to ask you to just hold tight, bear with me, because there's one more thing I'd like us to pray together. Okay, so just bear with me for a second. You've probably noticed if you've got a smartphone or you've got a computer that from time to time, your computer programs and the apps on your phone, they want to do what are called updates, right? They do updates, and they do that periodically because there are glitches that they want to fix and, you know, things that just could be better about that app or whatever it is, and they do updates, okay? As we begin this year, I don't know about you, but I've got some updates that are needed. Anybody else here? I got a few bugs that need to be fixed, and I've got some improvements that could be made in my life. And so I'm praying as we begin this year, this is one of my prayers for 2019, is God, do some updates in my life, right? Yeah. Help me to be more like Jesus than I've ever been before. And I believe as we stand before the Lord this morning at this first Sunday of the new year, this is a prayer that honors God and a prayer that God is going to answer. Lord, update me. Help me be more like you this year, all right? And so if that's what you want, would you just lift both hands up to the Lord and make that your prayer right now? God, do an update in my life. Help me to be more like Jesus this year. God, help me to be closer to you than I've ever been. Thank you, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that you will repair the things that need to be repaired, remove the things that need to be removed, heal the things that need to be healed, restore the things that need to be restored, God. Lord, that I would be set free to worship you and live for you and serve you. Lord, that my life would be an example, God, to those that know I'm a Christian. Lord, that I would represent you well this year. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said, amen. Amen.